I was getting a little bit disillusioned with farming in general because we were just pushing long days and chasing acres, and it didn't seem like there was very much reward to that. Quality of life was not very good. My wife was having to work a lot of hours full time and really support the family, and 2,500 acres really didn't support two families, my parents and then my household, like it should have, and we weren't living extravagant lives, I don't think by any means. And then 11 hit, and so it was kind of like, well, maybe this is a sign from God that we shouldn't be farming and maybe we should move on to something else. So as that passion for food was growing, I was looking into moving down to Austin and being involved in some urban farming setups with, there's some things to feed the homeless people by having urban farms for them to work and to provide food. So those things were growing in my mind. So 2011, we kind of made the decision, my wife and I, that this wasn't going to work. And so it took me probably 4 months to build up the courage to talk to Dad, to tell him you're going to be the last generation on the farm. And it was a very emotional time, you know, hard to sit there and tell him, hey, because his hopes got real high when we came back, of course. But so we had that conversation and we were mentally turned, you know, looking for work down in Austin. Our house, we lived in Temple at the time, and our house was on the market. And I've said before, if the house had sold, we would have been in Austin, and I would never would have gone to the meeting in November of 2011, which I didn't even know was a soil health meeting. A&M and NRCS had done some studies on the soil in 2009 to kind of recategorize some things. They were doing a lot of extensive soil testing, and they had the results of that. And so Dad called me that morning and said, hey, they got those results. Do you want to just run up to the state office and look at them? Because it was a few blocks from my house at the time. So I thought, okay, I need a break from looking for jobs. I'll go up there and see what they found out about the soil and stuff. And I walk in and it's a room full of NRCS employees down there in the bottom floor. And I thought, oh great, I'm stuck in a meeting about more things that don't work. Because that's kind of how I had kind of become jaded to a lot of presentations about the latest, greatest new chemical or seed or whatever that was supposed to, you know, be drought proof or increase your yield by the elusive 3 bushels or whatever, and didn't really want to hear it, but we were stuck there. And so I sat there on the front row because we were talking too long and then we had to sit in the front, and ended up there. But Ray was there, and I thought, well, what's this guy going to be? Because he's running around talking to everybody, shaking hands. And he did the slake and aggregation test. So I'm a visual learner, and so right away that kind of caught my attention, that wow, that's interesting, what made that way and that different. And and then he and Willie proceeded to talk about the functions of the soil and why these things were this way. And it was an eye-opening experience to a world that I had never really thought about, because I just took the agronomist advice of, well, if you're going to farm, you need to put the seed here, place it this way, and put the fertilizer right here, and you can't farm without it. Dad being there at that meeting where it all kind of sparked about soil health helped a lot, you know, because he was exposed to the same thing. And the journey from there was just, I've got to learn about this. And in fact, if I can back up a little bit, that day by lunch, I was wrestling with, I don't want to hear this because this is calling me to stay, but I didn't want to. We're done there, you know. And at lunch, I was really wrestling. By the end of the day, I knew I was going to stay and be a part of a paradigm shift. It was that impactful of information. And so I slept on that for a couple of days because I didn't want to put Dad on a roller coaster. Maybe we'll stay, maybe we won't, but so I wanted to be sure. So I talked to Caitlin about it, we prayed about it, and I came to Dad and said, I think we're going to stay now because this stuff is exciting. I think, like I was saying, it's kind of a perfect storm of a little bit of disillusionment with what we were doing, the disparity of the drought of 2011, and then the hope. Really, there was a hope in that message that Ray was giving. And I think if I could probably pick one word out of there was hope that nature actually did exist on its own before man started cultivating it and stuff, and things that seem obvious, but like a forest ecology, that nobody fertilizes the forest. That statement was kind of like, of course, it works, and it can be very abundant. And so there was a hope in that message, but then there was still this very big, chasm to cross between how do we get there, because nobody's doing that here. And I think that's the kind of joke amongst the soil health people, people practicing that, is that, oh, but it won't work here. And so now you kind of laugh at that, because that's what everybody says, from England to Australia to North Dakota to Texas. That's the same story. So it kind of becomes, no one's tried it. That's why it hasn't worked. And so being willing to try it, I think some of that came from, we were already at the bottom. We were already deciding to leave. So that was part of the perfect storm there too, is that, what do we have to lose? Because we already decided that this wasn't going to work. So let's give it a shot. And it hasn't been easy. I mean, there's been definitely struggles, with depression and different things at times, whenever it felt like we're just running this off the rails and ruining the farm, and everything Dad built is going down the toilet, and I ruined it because I tried this crazy stuff that maybe they were right. Maybe all the naysayers were right. This can't work here, and doesn't work here. And so one thing early on that both Dave Brandt and Gabe Brown told me is that if you're going to go down this road, you need to have thick skin, because people are going to point fingers and call you names and do different things. And so it seems odd, it really does, but pride plays so much of a role in humanity. I think that's part of forcing our hand on nature, is that our pride, that we think we can master it, but it has a way of humbling us. I think there's something unspoken amongst farmers that if I did it this way and my grandfather did it this way, and then some generations coming along and saying we need to change it and do it differently, there's an assumption there that, well, they're saying that I'm wrong. And it's not really that at all. My grandfather and my father were doing the best that they knew how with the information that they've been given. And so we just have different information now.